You're listening to Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. A Kaiser Health tracking poll recently found that 9 in 10 of us want to have end-of-life discussions with our doctors, but only 17% say they've actually had such a conversation. Cindy recently spoke with Washtenaw Health Initiative's Marion Udow-Phillips and University of Michigan Doctor of Internal Medicine Adam Marks about an upcoming program designed to spark that uncomfortable conversation.
This idea, Dr. Marks, of palliative care, of end-of-life issues, it's not new. Why do you think it is only 17% of the people in that survey say they've actually had the conversation with their physician?
I think it's a great question, and it's one that we in the medical profession, and particularly my group, those of us who are involved in palliative care, have been asking for a long time. And it comes down to a couple different things. The first, and the reason that we're so excited about the new reimbursement plan coming out in January, was just that prior to this, we weren't reimbursing clinicians for their time. And we know that doctors already have a lot on their plate, particularly primary care providers who need to talk to you about cancer screening and are you watching your cholesterol and how often are you exercising and what about your flu shot. Asking them to sit down to have a conversation about preferences for care at the end of life while not paying them for that time was a pretty tall order. And we know, too, that these conversations take a fair amount of time. I can't sit down with you in 5 minutes and expect to have a substantive conversation about your hopes and fears for the future in that time frame. The other thing is that, by and large, physicians don't get a lot of training in having these conversations, and we're human just like everyone else. It's uncomfortable for us to talk about end-of-life care because it means admitting that fact that you mentioned earlier, which is that all of us are going to die someday.
And I have to imagine that for many physicians, it's just so hard to lay down their weapons, so to speak. Very, very hard to say the D word, dying, and shift the focus away from healing to helping their patient have a good death.
You know, it's interesting that you mention that because when I do teaching at the medical school and at the university hospital, one of my main points is get used to saying the words death and die. Because I can't tell you how many times I have seen providers stumble over that word. And, well, again, this is something that we have to be more comfortable discussing. But absolutely, there is a treatment imperative in medicine. We can do so much now. And we get used to doing the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. It is much easier to prescribe a medication, to plan a procedure, to perform a surgery, than to sit down with our patients and families and asking ourselves, wait, how is this going to help us? Is this really in this person's best interest? What are our goals for medical care? And is this intervention going to be getting us closer to those goals or farther away from those goals?
Marion Udow-Phillips, what about the patients and the loved ones? Because I know I have heard patients say to me, I know that I am dying, but my kids or my spouse, they want to keep trying new treatments. You know, we aren't talking about what's ahead. My wife won't let me talk about hospice care. So those old taboos are still alive and well, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. It's difficult for everyone to have this conversation. But part of what we're trying to emphasize is this isn't actually just about when you're dying. It's about when you get a serious illness. Your family needs to understand what your preferences are. How do you want to be cared for? That's what advanced care planning is about. It's about thinking about it now when you're healthy or before you're at your end of life.
What if you have no idea? I mean, as I sit here with you today, I'm facing kind of a cranky knee. That's all that's on my plate right now. Mm. I have no idea what I will feel like when, let's say, Dr. Marks looks me in the eye and says, I don't think there's any more we can do. I don't know how I'll feel. How do I know what I want?
Well, it's not really necessarily about what exactly you want. It's what your preferences are. So there are some great documents that have been developed, and we'll talk about this at the event on Tuesday. There's the 5 wishes form, and it really works you through a conversation about, do you want your family around you to be with you in the event of a serious illness? Do you want to be out of pain? Do you want to be cared for in certain ways? So you don't actually have to decide things like, well, I don't want to be on a ventilator.
Okay.
You know, you just have to talk about what kind of care you want. And I think that's an easier conversation to have, but many people don't know how to have it. They don't know where these forms are. They don't have that conversation with their physician, as Dr. Mark said. Mm-hmm. So we want to help people understand how to have the conversation with their families, where to get forms that work for them. Lots of choices.
I would agree with that. And the only thing I would second is that we don't want patients to feel like they have to make specific decisions about specific interventions. And so that if I am talking to you and your main complaint is a cranky knee, and we're trying to think about the future, it doesn't make sense to say, oh, gosh, would you want dialysis or not? And what about a feeding tube? And what about a ventilator? What about chemotherapy? What I try to emphasize with my patients and families when we're doing this advanced care planning is simply saying, when you think about your future, what's important to you? What aspects of your life give it quality?
Right.
So that to say, what aspects of my quality of life am I willing to sacrifice for quantity? And which ones am I not willing to sacrifice? And so I'll have patients tell me, for example, you know, so long as I can recognize my family and interact with them, tell them I love them, then I would want aggressive medical care to prolong that life. And other people say, gosh, if I got so sick I couldn't take care of myself, if I depended on other people for personal care, then I wouldn't want that life to be prolonged artificially. So this is the kind of the broad kind of themes that we try to elicit early on. And then later, if we're faced with a decision, we can go back to those and say, well, gosh, you know, we talked earlier about how if you got so sick that you couldn't take care of yourself, that you weren't sure that you would want aggressive care to prolong that existence. You know, maybe that's where we're facing now. The other point that's so important about these, as was just mentioned, about having these conversations early, is we know that when we get in the hospital and when we're faced with a serious illness, up to 75% of the time, we're not able to talk with the patient about these things because they're unconscious, because they're so sick, they can't understand what's going on around them. And so we are looking to the family members to make difficult decisions about care. And these conversations go so much better when the families can say, well, we've talked about this,
right,
and this is what my loved one said, versus what we see all too often, oh, my gosh, I have no idea what my loved one would want because we never talked about it.
Right.
We want to relieve this burden of decision-making that the families so often are faced with.
Dr. Adam Marks is the medical director of Arbor Palliative Care, and he's also with the Department of Internal Medicine at the University of Michigan. Marianne Udall Phillips is with the Center for Healthcare Research and Transformation and the Washtenaw Health Initiative. And again, this event is tomorrow night, Tuesday the 17th. The film is Consider the Conversation 2, stories about cure, relief, and comfort. And then it will be followed by a panel discussion, including Dr. Marks and others who are well-versed in advanced care planning and end-of-life issues. All free, all open to the public, and you can actually go to WashtenawHealthInitiative.org and get all the information. Thank you so much to both of you for being with us today.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you for your time.